Turn with me to Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 39. And if you would just take out your outline as we continue with our study in the life of Joseph. We looked at Joseph the dreamer and how God used that in his life and really how it began, that transformation that God was bringing in Joseph's life. Young lad of 17, of course, hated and despised and envied by his brothers. The favorite of his father, Jacob. We can understand how a 17-year-old could maybe become proud, very immature, maybe even arrogant. God had a work to do in Joseph's life as he has a work to do in all of our lives. God didn't give up on Joseph. God continued to work through all the various struggles and through all the various adversities, too. We saw Joseph the dreamer. We saw Joseph also the runner. When he was faced with a temptation for illicit sex, sexual immorality, the father of his wife, Joseph ran. He certainly saw that option that God gave him and knew that it would be not only a wicked act there against Potiphar himself by committing adultery with Potiphar's wife, but also that ultimately and fully it would be a sin against God. So we looked and we saw Joseph the runner. We too have those options that God gives us to stand for righteousness and holiness, to see those doors of escape, to find that grace to strengthen us that we may be able to endure that time of testing or that time of temptation. Today we're looking at Joseph the ruler. Now it encompasses a lot of chapters, so we're not going to go verse by no means. But chapters 39 through 44 is a span where Joseph is given that privileged position by the grace of God, not by Pharaoh. God used Pharaoh to put Joseph in that position, as God would use all kings and everyone to accomplish his purpose. Joseph the ruler, you see the overview, if you will, of this section in Joseph's life. And the Lord continues to work in Joseph's life so he can work through him for his glory and purpose. Please join with me in prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we have examples like Joseph, growing to the man of faith that you have purposed him to be. And Lord, that the same desire that we have, Lord, that we would be men and women of faith, that you're working in and working through for your glory and purpose. And so, Lord, teach us through this example of Joseph. We see him certainly as a type, as an illustration of Christ in many ways. But we also see him as an example for our lives, as a witness and as an example to others for you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, guide us, we pray. Open our heart, open our minds. Lord, speak to the very depths of our souls, of your grace, your mercy. Lord, the wonderful grace of your providence at work in our lives as well. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, we'd like to take a look very briefly, if you will, Joseph in prison. That's from verses chapter 39, verses 19 through 40. And we just captured a few verses there, just to capture the essence. You understand the story of why he's in prison, of course. He was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and he said no, and he ran away, and of course, she falsely accused him of trying to rape her. And she had held his garment, his outer garment there, and she said, see to her servants, see this Hebrew! That the man brought into the house. He's making fun of me. He tried to rape me. And of course, when Potiphar got home, she said the very same thing to him. And so Potiphar could have killed him. It would have been considered a capital offense for a slave to even consider doing something like that. Falsely accused, though. Potiphar put him in prison. Put him in a prison that apparently was a very special level of prison incarceration. Where others who were thrown in there, and of course you know the story, the chief cupbearer for Pharaoh, the chief baker, he was also thrown in there because they displeased Pharaoh. We don't know what they did, but they were also thrown in prison. But come with me, if you will, as we take a look in your outline there before you. But it considers, if you will, through the Word of God, we consider Joseph's position in prison. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. We see this repeatedly in the life of Joseph, in the story of Joseph's life. The Lord was with Joseph. We're told that a number of times. We looked at some of those times last week. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was manifesting his presence not only to Joseph, but through Joseph's life, through Joseph's work. Others have recognized that the Lord was with Joseph. He had an impact on others because the Lord was with him. But also in this context, the Lord had a very special way of taking him to the palace. It's pretty hard to conceive that God would use a prison by way of prison to the palace. But he did that with Joseph. And sometimes he uses things in your life and my life. And we wonder why we're there, or why we're going through something. That if we had our brothers, if we had our choices, we would probably choose another way. But like with Joseph, God knows what he's doing. And like with Joseph, we can always be assured that the Lord is with us. We know Emmanuel. His name is Jesus. We know Emmanuel because he's the one who died for our sins and rose again from the grave. We know Emmanuel because our risen Savior says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, we know Emmanuel. God is with us. And here with Joseph in prison, even though maybe it was a special prison indeed, but nevertheless was a prison. God's presence strengthening through that. There were two dreams, of course, there by the cupbearer, the chief cupbearer, and the chief baker, but two different outcomes. One died. One was executed under the law of Pharaoh. The chief cupbearer, when he survived, and he was taken back into the palace. And then one of the things that Joseph said to him, take a look, if you will, at chapter 40, in verse 14. Well, let's pick it up at verse 13. And in 3 days, Pharaoh, he's talking to the chief cupbearer, and in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up, lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. He said, I was sold into slavery, and I was falsely accused and brought into this prison. So Joseph said, remember me when you were there in Pharaoh's presence. Mention me. Well, God could have allowed him to remember him that very next day. He could have said, Pharaoh, thank you for bringing me back and reinstating me in this position. But let me tell you about a young person I met in prison. His name is Joseph. He's a Hebrew. He could have introduced Joseph to Pharaoh, but he forgot. He forgot it for 2 whole years. 2 more years in prison. The Lord could have shortened that by a day or 2 years. At the right time, in God's time, the chief cupbearer says, oh, I just remembered. What stirred his memory? Why, another dream. Oh, not his. Pharaoh had a dream. In fact, there were two dreams. Dream of 7 cows, very plump, and then, if you will, two, seven straggly cows that they ate up the plump cows. And then 7 ears of corn. Very plump, very full. And then 7 scrawny corns that ate up the other. So he asked the wise men, and you know the story, they didn't have a clue. But it was that that prompted the chief cupbearer. Now I remember. I remember now my offense. I promised I would remember Joseph and tell you his story. But now, let me tell you, there is one who can interpret the dreams. He interpreted mine, and he was right on the mark. So we have, if you will, forgot for 2 years. And there in verse 9 of chapter 41, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offense. When Pharaoh was angry with his servant and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed a dream on the same night, he and I, and each had having a dream with his own interpretation, and a young Hebrew. Now we remember. You know, sometimes maybe you're in a situation where you wonder, has God forgotten you? Have you ever been there? Maybe in a situation in your marriage, your family with your children, maybe at work, whatever it may be. Maybe it's in a time of sickness, an illness. However severe, however long. And you're asking yourself, and yes, even indirectly, Lord, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten me? Let me just read a couple passages. You have me in your outline before you. That God reassures. Isaiah chapter 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God's promise for today, too, for you and I, in Christ Jesus. And then again, take a look, if you will, because I'm sure that somewhere along the line, Joseph had to be asking why. Why the pit? Why the prison? God was still working in Joseph's life. And God wasn't offended if he was asking those whys, and he's never offended when you and I ask him those whys. But he does tell us something very special in his word. Take a look, if you will, at Isaiah chapter 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That would be God's answer to the wise of Joseph. Why the pit? Why the prison? Well, Joseph, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. When you and I ask why, too, we go through something, we don't have a direct answer why. Please remember this passage here. Fear not, I am with you. And also remember that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. But he has a purpose. It's always gracious, it's always merciful, it's always good. Does he ever forget us? Well, he never remembers our sins. Aren't you glad? But he never forgets you or I. Take a look, if you will. And he likens it to a mother. A mother with her infant child. Take a look at Isaiah 49 in your line. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion of the child that she has born? Typically, a naturalist would say, absolutely not! What mother would forget her child? And he goes on, though she may forget, the Lord says, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are before me. Yes, indeed, this is speaking to Israel, to the Israelites, to the Jews, the people of covenant. But you and I are also people of covenant. And this promise, and this, if you will, analogy is also good for us. Our Father will never forget you. Our Father will never forget us. No matter where you find yourself in, whatever situation, whatever sickness, whatever suffering, whatever pit, whatever prison, God will never forget us. He is there with us, and he has a purpose for what you and I are going through at this time, and every time. Like Joseph, in your outline before you, like Joseph, the Lord is not finished with us yet. He continues to mold and shape us for that which he saved us and is equipping us for. Do you believe that? Joseph learned that and he lived that and he believed that. And you and I are to live that and to believe that as well. Like Joseph, we need to learn to trust, to wait on God, and to live with integrity. Probably have met Christians too. At a time of an invitation to the gospel, they raise their hand, they come forward. Or they sign a card, whatever. Whatever it means to indicate that somehow they've made a decision. A decision to commit their life to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But things surely don't happen the way they expected them to happen.
Things don't go the way they want them to go. And all of a sudden, you know, they find themselves, you know, this Christianity, I really don't need it. And yet you and I have given to us the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to say, wait on the Lord. Trust in Him. And while you're waiting and trusting in Him to open the door, if there's a door that needs to be opened, or close the door that if there's a door that needs to be closed, while you're waiting and leaning and learning of Him, live with integrity. Live with integrity. Walk a path of righteousness for His name's sake. Live with integrity. That's exactly what Joseph was doing. Now we don't see all the struggles he had within his heart and all the thoughts within his mind, but we do see in this story of Joseph, yes, Joseph the dreamer, he had his faults. Joseph there with Potiphar, Joseph in prison. Now we see Joseph the ruler, but God was still with him and working in his heart. But in all that, Joseph was willing to wait, to trust, and to walk with integrity. Go on. Joseph before Pharaoh. Joseph said to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh had that dream, of course, of the cows and the corn. God had revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Take a look at Genesis in your outline there. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said that you, and when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Then again, Joseph said to Pharaoh, your dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Not only was God working in Joseph's life, but he was also working in Egypt. Why? Well, for a large family of 70 people. For Jacob and his sons, and their wives and their children. Because a famine was coming. You know, in those days, many nations had famines, and apparently there in Egypt, it's recorded throughout history that there are many, many periods of famines. This one was orchestrated by God to bring Jacob and the family into Egypt to provide for them, and then for 400 and almost 50 years to build a nation. A nation of the people of God. A nation called Israel. You see, God, He delights and He's able to work in an individual life as well as in a nation. I believe God is working in our nation as well, don't you? Maybe He's going to bring a famine. I don't know. But I know He's working. But I know while He's working in this nation or any nation, He wants us to be just like Joseph. Trusting, waiting, and walking in integrity. Joseph before Pharaoh. Two different dreams, of course, we went over that, the cows and the corn. The dreams were interpreted by God. God was saying there's going to be 7 years of plenty and abundance of crops. Now I want you to be good stewards, and Joseph was giving them the instructions. Take a certain percentage, take a certain portion and save them. Because the famine years are coming, 7 years of famine. Joseph entered into the service of the king of Egypt, verses 37 through 39. But I find it interesting, turn with me if you will to chapter 41. And we see that in that course of time that Joseph was now in the palace and he was raised to that position of responsibility and authority, Joseph had a wife, an Egyptian wife, and two sons. Take a look, if you will, at Genesis chapter 41, verses 50 through 52. Before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, at Sethnah, at the door of Potiphar. Priest of On bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the first son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house.
And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Two sons. But did you notice that in those names, he was affirming his allegiance to God. But not only that, he was seeing in those names that he ascribed to his first son and second son, that in God's divine providence, God was always in control. That even in the midst of adversities, God was there for him. And that through those adversities, God was making him fruitful. Exactly how God wants to work in your life and my life. But there's something else. In those names that he ascribed to his two sons, Joseph was saying, I'm forgetting the past and forgiving the offenses. Because God is helping to forget, and God has now made me fruitful. I find it interesting how many times in the story of Joseph he makes reference to the Lord, God. But especially in this, and his two sons that were living in his household, who were right there before him, were always reminding him that he could forget the past and that God has made him fruitful now. You know what stops you and I from being so fruitful that God wants us to be? Sometimes we do not let the past go. Joseph did. And we'll see later, not just Joseph as a ruler, as we're seeing today, but Joseph the forgiver. Very important part of his life. But even right now, we have that alluded to in the lives of his two sons and the names that he afforded them. Like Joseph, we need to know that the Lord is working for the salvation and well-being of others. Yes. The favor of the Lord was on him, and he was blessing the work, as it says there in Psalm chapter 90, verse 17, if you will. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. A prayer that the psalmist is praying, you and I can pray too. Lord, have favor upon the work that I'm doing, for your glory. For your glory, good. And then, of course, in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Like Joseph, we need to know that the Lord is working for the salvation and the well-being of others. It's not only about us, but it's about others too, isn't it? Even the ones we don't like. Yeah. Even the ones we don't like, but we gotta love. Because God has commanded. One of the ways we love them, as we love ourselves, or love our brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ loves us, is that we desire for well-being in Christ. For the unsaved, we desire for them to have the joy of salvation. Amen? For the saved, we desire for them to be well-blessed in grace of God. Like Joseph, we need to deal with the past with grace and mercy, and not with bitterness, resentment, and frequent review. As it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Yes, even the pit, even being falsely accused, God used that for good. Even the prison that Joseph was in, God used all things together for good in the lives of his children today too. Joseph in the position of power, from Genesis 41 through 44, Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And he made him ride in his second chariot. So he was second to Pharaoh in the eyes of all the populace there in Egypt. And they called out before him, bow the knee, bow the knee. And thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. They were applying the wisdom that God gave Joseph to give to them. Divine principle of stewardship. And all came to Joseph for food. Joseph's brothers came to Egypt. Why? Because the famine was also there in the land of Canaan. And because of that famine, because of their need, because of their hunger, Jacob said, I understand there's grain in Egypt, and they're selling it. Well, guys, I think you ought to go to Egypt and buy some grain. So Jacob sent his sons there to Egypt to buy the grain. You know the story. Of course, Joseph tested the hearts of his brothers. He wanted to see, were they still about themselves? Were they still arrogant? Were they still easily angered? Were they still jealous? He wanted to see what their hearts were. So over those period of chapters, if you will, from Genesis chapter 42 and following, we see Joseph testing the hearts of his brothers. It's another thing that tests our hearts too. Would you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17? Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. One who tests our hearts, your heart, my heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Desperately sick. Another translation has it, desperately wicked. We're prone to sin. And who can understand it? But notice what it says in verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So God is testing your heart, my heart, every day. Joseph, in that position of responsibility and authority, and the second ruler to Pharaoh, he recognized his brothers. God, if they didn't recognize him, we know the story. We'll get to that next week. But he was testing their hearts. Are they still the same? Are they still the same that easily get angry? Are they still the same that become jealous? Are they still the same that can't get along with each other? Because they couldn't. In fact, later on, Joseph said, now don't argue when you go home. And he knew their hearts. Like Joseph, we have the Lord's promise of his possessions. And God says, through Paul, he says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And like Joseph, the Lord put us in a place to help and provide for others. You see, there may not be a physical famine here in this land, but there is a spiritual famine. And I believe the Lord has placed the church, the body of Christ, here in this land to address that spiritual famine that's going on. Take a look at Hosea. Hear the word of the Lord. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Like Joseph, who represented the king of Egypt, we as Christians represent the King of Kings, in giving out the living bread to those who are hungry and dying without hope. Yes, there is a spiritual famine. Even though we have so many stations on the radio or so many stations on TV, still there's a spiritual famine. I'm surprised at the number of young people that really don't know about Jesus Christ. Why is that so? One reason it's not so is because the church, not just South Carolina, but the church here in the United States, we have been doing the Christ's cause. Now I know, you can say, but Bill, we have ministries, we have release times, and we are reaching out to kids in the release time, the Bible clubs and everything else. Yes. But why is it that the majority of kids, by the time they get into 6th grade, 7th grade, they could have come to the church for all those years, but they have nothing of a desire for God? Why is it the majority of the kids in high school have no desire for things of God? Why is it that the millennials right now, that's the next age, have no desire for the church, have no desire for God's word, have no desire for the things of God? I'm sure there are many answers to that question. But some of the answers to that question
part of that. Somebody answers that question, God is saying, you have a part in it. I have a part in it. But God is also saying, listen, there's a spiritual famine going on right now for a lack of true knowledge of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. And he's saying to us, like he was using Joseph also, what are we going to do? You know, it's very easy to say, well, I'm saved. My kids are saved. I'm going to see them in heaven. My grandkids, I'm praying for them. I hope to see them in heaven too. And that's as far as it goes. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity today here. Just one person, maybe two people, maybe three people, taking turns and sharing the gospel with those little ones in daycare. Would you be willing to do it? Dr. Dan, we heard last week with CDF, we can't enjoy out. They're constantly looking for workers. We are blessed here in our county where there are many release time groups and teachers, but there's so much more that can be done. You see, Joseph was willing, and he was used of God. Time of famine to provide the bread. We live in a famine. We have a living bread, Jesus Christ. Would you be willing? Would you be willing to be used of Christ today and the rest of the days of your life here on earth to make Jesus Christ known? Not just family, not just to friends, but to others. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal to us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, Joseph is not only an example of Christ, we see that, but he's also an example for us to follow as representatives of Christ, our Savior, in making him known to others. See, the truth of the matter is, if you truly know him, you will want to serve. If you truly know him, you will want to make him known to others. Three questions. Are you where the Lord can use you? Are you where the Lord can use you? Is there something in your life or something in the situation you're in where the Lord can't use you? Then that's going to change. But the first question, are you where the Lord can use you? If that's yes, if you know that you're where the Lord can use you, then the second question is, do you want to serve him and to honor him where you are? Third question, like Joseph, will you make the Lord known to others in word and deed? In the story of Joseph, the name of the Lord comes up so many times. God's name, Elohim, comes up so many times. Because Joseph was not embarrassed, he was not ashamed. He was there to honor him and to glorify him. Yes, he went from the pit to the prison, but he ended up in the palace, right where God wanted to use him. Pray. Father God, we thank you for the wonder, the amazing work of your grace in our lives, Lord. In each of us. First of all, for our salvation, so great a salvation, that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Father, we thank you for the continued work of your grace in our lives, and we go from grace to grace, from strength to strength, as you guide us and direct us. But Lord, use us where you have us, where you have placed us. Use us for your glory, for your purpose. And use us, Father, in this land of a great famine for the knowledge of God, a great famine for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, use us to make you known to those who are hungry, those who are dying without hope,
We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.